Hello friends, welcome back to another Off The Cuff chat with me, FPL Mez. This is episode 9, and in today's episode, we talk all things wildcard. I'm joined by Ashley, who is FPL Crisis on Twitter, and we both have our wildcards activated. We have an at-length conversation about some of the picks that we are making. We also talk about Arsenal picks as well, and also captaincy. So, grab your drinks and snacks, go for a walk, and enjoy the episode. Welcome, Ashley. Lovely to have you. Lovely to chat to you. How are you going?
Going well, thank you. Thanks for having me, finally. It's been really good to jump on. First time on, but long time listener.
Oh, thank you. No, I see you in the chats all the time, jumping in and sort of, you know, dropping me a message as well afterwards as well. I really do appreciate it. We've got such a nice community over here in Australia, and everyone's just, you know, everyone gets on really well as well. Everyone's very encouraging of each other as well, which is wonderful. And of course, we've had lots of, you know, in-person like meets and things over the last couple of years, at least that I've been playing. So yeah, it's been really nice to get to know you, especially Ash, and more recently we've been talking a lot about wildcards. And yeah, so like tell us a little bit like about yourself in terms of like how long have you been playing FPL and how's it been going, you know, so far for you as well?
Yeah, long time FPL player, fantasy soccer. I'd say maybe 2007/8 was a lot of work mini leagues. That's all what it was about. And then from there it was just like chopping and changing between the main game and Yahoo.
Oh, yeah.
The old Yahoo one. So that was more like category-based where you get different drafts and different strategies there. So it was good to sort of offset against the standard FPL side.
Mm.
And then when I changed jobs, nobody on the new job wanted to do FPL. So I was just like, I'm just going to continue doing it on my own. It was just sort of a little hobby, and then took it a bit more seriously in terms of following ranks and things like that, probably the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, nice. And, you know, like in terms of taking it seriously, would you say like your play style is a bit more of a serious manager, or do you like to sort of, you know, do you play it safe, or do you sort of go for punts and risks? And
yeah, this is where I'm trying to change a little bit. I think I've gone for punts just for the sake of taking punts in the past, rather than following what others are doing.
Mm.
But now just a bit more measured in terms of finding a reason to go against, as opposed to just doing it for the sake of it. As an example, you know, it's probably 50% less than most people captain Haaland last year.
Yeah.
It cost me a little bit. But then at the same time, you know, it's more fun taking a few punts.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember that really well, where you didn't go Haaland. And of course, like there's many managers at the moment who don't have Haaland in their sides, even now going into probably two lots of wildcard phases that we've had, like in game week 4 and then going into game week 6. There's been, you know, many managers playing their wildcard, and especially this week, it feels like everyone's playing their wildcard. How did it feel last season going without Haaland?
It was actually like really comfortable. I was like surprised more people didn't do it. And we had that insurance of Alvarez as well. He was there just sort of kicking along and contributing. And then
that's true,
Foden
yeah.
was obviously doing well too. But funny enough, this year I haven't even considered not having him. It's just like, even though the price went up, it's just one of those things that if you didn't have the captaincy option,
yeah,
he's definitely not worth 15 mil. But just given the fixtures and the way he's been playing, just work around it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think Andy Martin would love that first part that you said there. It's just not worth 15 mil. And I think that's what so many other managers as well who are saying similar kind of things. I didn't have a doubt in my mind when I brought him in this season. You know, I looked at the fixtures, and obviously there was a couple of, you know, tougher fixtures. And in fact, if we base our understanding of like Newcastle from last season as well, we would say that the, you know, upcoming fixture for City is a slightly tougher fixture, especially against Newcastle at home. But just the form that Newcastle are on and the form that Haaland's on, it just doesn't, yeah, it just doesn't seem like a tougher fixture anymore.
Yeah. But I'm trying to separate. I'm trying to pick the times where to jump off. Like I have that itch still of going, okay, I don't want to captain Haaland this week, like last week. So maybe it's 2 weeks in a row where, you know, I look elsewhere. But, yeah, you know, I just got to find the reasons why. Like, maybe Newcastle is a very different team home and away, and then, you know, separate it like that.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Ash, like, I think it was last season you had a really high rank, you know, like very sort of earlier on as well, similar to where I am, you know, at the moment. You know, do you feel like you're thinking about your team in a different way when you're, you know, higher up in the rank, you know, compared to where you are, you know, at the moment?
With a few more zeros, you mean?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I think I got to about 3K was the highest around game 20.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd be a bit cheeky and, you know, play the fixtures. And again, actually, it's happened again this year, but I jumped off Saka last year. I remember that.
Yeah.
Going that infamous game week 25 double for City. Jumped on KDB. I think he even took a hit. And then that was 30 points down within two game weeks. And then it unraveled a little bit down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just in this year, taking out Gabriel from Robertson, and it's like, he scores back to back, and you're like, come on.
Oh, see, I remember chatting to you about that. And again, on paper, that looked like a really good move. It just seemed like a good move to make, right? I know it was against Spurs, but still, I think like, who was it? So Gabriel, I think last season only got like 5 goals, but that was through the whole season. We weren't expecting him to get, you know, more than one goal in the first 5 game weeks, right? So, yeah, it's tough, that one. Yeah, yeah. we've got a whole bunch of people in the chat as well. So thank you to everyone that's tuned in this morning. So it is morning for us over here in Australia. It's about 10 to 9 a.m. And I was very much making a double shot coffee this morning. But I think it's all sorts of hours, you know, everywhere else based on where you're tuning in from. So let us know where you're tuning in from. Hey, Katya, lovely to see you. Tien's so great to have you as well. And I'm looking forward to catching up with Tien next week as well, like with Tien being in town in Sydney from Canberra. So, yeah, looking forward to that. But please do like and subscribe as well if you're tuning in for the first time. And we'll probably jump straight into a little bit of game week 5 talk. We won't talk about that too much, just because, you know, there's a lot to get through for our wild cards, and we're, you know, pretty much firming them up now. But Ash, you know, as we sort of jump over to game week 5, so tell us how your team did, and you know, where you're at, where your thinking's at the moment. So yeah, a quick summary of your game week 5.
Game week 5 was okay. It was just above average there, where it's sort of been swimming just below the surface line this year with the lack of supporting cast for Haaland and Salah. But, you know, finally Rodgers got something, which was good.
Yes.
We've all been waiting for that. So that double return and then the additional bonus was even nice. It was really good to, I think what saved me in the end was that Kelleher and the double Liverpool clean sheet, which was inches away from going the other way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Henderson just, he just came through, didn't he, at the end there?
I mean, at the end of the day, if you get one clean sheet in 5 from your 4.5, it kind of like, that's the bare minimum. Nice parting gift.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you've got João Pedro there as well. I had him, you know, in my game week 5 team as well. And yeah, it was very frustrating trying to work out if he was going to play or not ahead of that game week. Did you have any thoughts about taking him out?
I did, because I had Muniz and Murphy on the bench, who you just had no idea if they were going to play. But I assumed they were going to get minutes.
Mm.
So I left them on and just wanted to have that extra free transfer post wildcard, but then I was relying on Diaz from the Southampton version, not the Liverpool version.
Yeah.
And then I don't think he even started that game. So it was just like another one of those poor outcomes. So
yeah.
But yeah. Game week 6, at least, it's not a reactionary wildcard. I've had it planned the whole season. So
yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I think compared to me, so if I show you my game week 5 really quickly, again, you know, very similar to you, where I've got, you know, Rodgers and Salah. I had Salah captain this time around. Isak did nothing. Jao Pedro did nothing up front there. Henderson got the points there. Obviously, I kept Gabriel. And so, you know, this time I played Gabriel as well, which I'm kind of glad because, I mean, I guess he would have come on anyway. No, he wouldn't have come on. I would have had Jota not playing and then, of course, Gabriel, you know, off the bench. But I don't know if I think I had Jao Pedro on the bench. So, and he came on for his, you know, 10-minute cameo and then got injured again. So not great at all.
But having that option, just the one that, like, picking that over a Mane, you know, it's 50-50 at the beginning of the season. And it's just, it's been so good just to having that set of 66s. You get to the, you know, mid-70s every game on a low score. It's beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really tricky because, like, you know, the couple of streams that, you know, I was on, like, with Ryan. So, hey, Ryan, great to see you in chat as well. And with Chaz, with FPL Addicts as well. And, you know, we were talking about some of the, and with Ryan, in fact, on Sunday, like, I've had quite a few really good conversations with a lot of our Aussie, you know, community this week. And it's been quite nice, actually. And the conversation's been very much around those 50-50 picks as well. And there's been quite a few of them, especially like in either in defense or in goalkeepers or, you know, the Smith Rowe Manese picks and then the, you know, Welbeck Jao Pedro picks. And yeah, there's been quite a few of them.
Yeah. But we're not going to talk about Kwanzaa.
Oh, I feel like he's out of sight and out of mind now. That was bad, yeah. How do you, yeah. You took two price drops, did you?
Only because of the beginning of the season, I was like, do you just risk Rico Lewis without Rodri? Or you're like,
yes.
I think the defender's better, let's go Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Just disaster.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, like I've been, I love how, like, I think I messaged you the other day saying, hey, Kwanzaa's like 4.1. Surely he's going to get some minutes at some point. Do we just bring him in into our wild card? And, you know, I love how he just ignored that completely. It's like, that's ridiculous. She's smoking crack. You know, forget about that.
We'll worry about that later.
Yeah, absolutely. But let's jump into some wildcard talk as well. So we're both like on wildcards. Ash, you had it in mind to jump straight to, you know, playing your wildcard in game week 6. You had that sort of planned out. I didn't. You know, for me, it was a, I'm going to see how my team is going. I would have been able to make 2 free transfers. The plan was to take Salah out. I think that was always sort of on my mind anyway when I was looking ahead at game week 6. And so Salah would have definitely made way. I would have brought in Saka. And then I was thinking about bringing in either another defensive option or going back to Havertz or bringing in Brian Mbeumo as well. So that those were some of the options, you know, that I would have gone with. But I decided to pull my wild card because I've got quite a few injuries in my team. And so Jao Pedro being a problem, I had some defensive, you know, issues as well. And then I wanted to have some Arsenal players, Newcastle not looking good, Isak being a problem. My sort of fringe players who are my, you know, cheap enablers also not really doing much as well. So I had to just pull the wild card, but you had it in mind, I guess, to play it. What was your thinking
decision at the beginning was knowing that Salah's always been a fast starter. He was fresh, no Euros, all that stuff. And then because of the Euro delays, you didn't know exactly which players to jump on. So I thought just start with Salah and then make a decision later, whether that's through free transfers or just jump on the wild card.
Yeah. Yeah. So standout sort of fixtures for you. I've got a couple of, so we can either look at this one or we can look at this one. You tell me, Ash, like, which one do we want to have a look at?
Maybe go for that, the coloured one. Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay. So standout fixtures for you, at the moment when you were thinking about your wild card and doing some of the planning.
Definitely Arsenal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to ignore. Even just having 2 is not enough.
Yeah.
Feels that way.
Mm.
obviously the debate is going to be which three,
yeah,
and how you work around that. And then there's sort of like immediate fixtures versus long term. So things like Chelsea, they are scoring goals and it's, you know, an option to jump on, but then they have really hard on paper. What, there's a tough four stretch there.
Mm.
It's just those type of things. Brentford, you know, the yeah. attack looks good. So then there's obviously one option, one good option there that everyone's going to own. And then there's the Man City sort of illusion of, is it just Haaland? Is it, oh, you got to have three because it's, look at those fixtures. But yeah, we're going to find out which way.
Yeah, absolutely. Any that you sort of looked at, you liked the look of, and then you sort of didn't want to go there? I'm looking at the bottom part of the table because there's some juicy fixtures there, of course.
Forest is sort of in between, like whether it's attack or defense, they have those good home fixtures. But, you know, you have to work out benching every time and then trusting a 6 mil forward.
Yeah.
Is there at home? Is that the right play? I'm not sure. Maybe.
Yeah.
Brighton, I'm happy to jump off. They've got a lot of players and really tough fixtures coming up. West Ham's an interesting one. You can't seem to trust them at the moment, but
yeah,
someone like Bowen, he's going to come good at some point. So
yeah,
try and jump on those points before they happen.
Yeah, I think I had someone on Twitter yesterday, and in fact, I think they might be in the chat here right now. So Dushant, who's tuning in at 4 a.m. from India. Thank you so much. And he asked a question about Bowen, and you know, it's a tricky one because like he's in isolation, he's a really good player, but as a team, they're just not really clicking at the moment. And so, yeah, I think he's 7.5 or
about that.
Yeah, it just seems too expensive to go there at the moment.
So I think this is where it's key that, you know, when you're doing a wild card like this, just certain price points, just give that option to jump on and off. Like if you went to a 6.5 mid, I don't know, pick a Szoboszlai or someone that's 6.5, Garnacho.
Yeah. Or Gundogan, you know, who's hitting radars now. That
extra $1 million.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Whereas if you start with Diaz or something like that, it's a lot easier to move across.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree. There was also like Everton, I think, which you have some, you have like some options there. But, you know, I'm seeing triple Everton in quite a few teams as well now. And yeah, I was chatting to FPL Bateman like briefly about it yesterday. And there was someone in Twitter again who was, you know, really hot on, is it Ndai? I feel like saying his name wrong. As the 5.4 option alongside maybe, you know, DCL. Like there's some really like different picks that are coming into play now, which I hadn't really thought about. So yeah, really interesting. Let's have a quick look at.
One spoiler is I've opened up the vault.
Yeah.
Never agains, and I'm considering DCL.
Oof. Yeah.
Never agains, but potentially he finds a way in. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I put him in my earlier drafts. I definitely put him in my earlier drafts, and it's a tricky one because like when you look at let me just go back there. If you look at like Everton's fixtures, so they've got Palace next, Newcastle, but then they've got Ipswich, Fulham, Southampton, you know, West Ham. Those are really good fixtures, and so I get it. You know, I can see why Mikulenko is turning up at 4.3 mil, you know, in defence, and why DCL is turning up in drafts as well. McNeil's turning up in drafts. Yeah, so these options are definitely good, viable options. I was going to jump to some of the projected goals really quickly as well, just to, you know, set some context around, you know, some of the fixtures that we're targeting. Of course, there's the City fixture against Newcastle, which is like clean sheet odds there, a lot higher than what I thought, which has got me thinking about Guardiola and Lewis in defence, you know, for City, which previously I wasn't really thinking about, although City haven't been keeping a lot of clean sheets there. Just really like quick thoughts on that one, because I think it's because Newcastle haven't been very good.
I feel like this is a game that they're going to really turn up for. They know they're under the pump a little bit, and they're back at home without Rodri as well. I know he's missed a bit to start the season, but without Rodri, I just think paying that extra, what is it, 1.3 for Guardiola over Lewis right now, the moment all you're getting is probably assured minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's worth it, but I'm happy to have that discussion later.
Yeah.
For him, if, you know, they are just keeping those clean sheets, but you've got to find a balance somewhere.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think the other sort of, like, we're going to be talking about a couple of, like, player combinations a bit later as well, just around, you know, the forward line and defensive line as well, like, where we've got options to jump off of, you know, the current sort of template that is out there, and think about some of the combinations that we can work with. And they're largely around, you know, the Tottenham spots available, as well as, you know, like with Porro and Solanke, and then you've got Arsenal as well, and with Ryan contention, yeah, there's a you know, possibility, like, whilst the clean sheet odds are really high, the goals, you know, is quite high as well against Leicester. So, yeah, do you go double attack or do you go double defence? And with Ryan not being, potentially being a risk now, is it a Saliba and Gabriel sort of combination? So, yeah, we'll sort of talk about a couple of combinations that we can work with as well. I think the only other one that sort of, you know, combination-wise was, I guess, Chelsea. You know, do you jump on to Palmer? Do you jump on to Jackson for the next couple of game weeks? If we look at the, you know, the fixture ticker again, you've got... so for Chelsea, you've got Brighton and Forest, and they're both home fixtures before it gets, I wouldn't say tough, as I mean, Liverpool is probably, you know, definitely a tougher fixture, but Newcastle and United, not necessarily really tough fixtures. But would you say that that Chelsea match is going to be something that you want to target as well? Because I think you were talking about Jackson as well, weren't you?
Yeah. I think just given the way that I'm thinking in defence, I don't have room for any Chelsea defender or goalkeeper. And I'm happy for the longer term. I see the benefit of going Palmer, because then after those 2 weeks, you can reassess and jump to pretty much anyone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, same for Jackson. He's the one that's actually doing the finishing. And I don't have that bias from last year of owning him too much to say, you know, he's ruined me like a Darwin type thing. I'm happy to own him for a couple of weeks, see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't actually work out in 2 weeks, I was a plan, almost like a plan transfer off anyway. So there's a few options there.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we've also got some data and stats as well. So Ash, let me know when you want to jump to, like, as we talk about players as well, we can have a look at some of that. Otherwise, you know, maybe we jump into some of our initial wildcard drafts, and then we can do a bit of back and forth as well as we're talking around that, because I think there's going to be a little bit of that while we're making decisions, you know, with our wildcards.
Yeah, I think there's a good core of players that we're sort of almost both locked in, and then there's the rest you just play around with the combination.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, let me show you. So if you have been following me on Twitter, especially, I put together, so before I go to my wildcard draft, I'll just kind of come over here. I was like, you know, virtual post-it notes, and very much this board is basically where I've been doing a lot of my planning. So I had put together something like this, which gives me a bit of a sense of, like, which positions I'm trying to fill. And yeah, it's like if I was at work and I was trying to design the best team, you know, and trying to work out the combinations based on their strengths and, you know, what I'm trying to do for my upcoming 5-game week project, this is the kind of thing that I'd be doing. So, like, from the GK spots there, so for goalkeeper spots, I had Raya in green, and now he is a tentative orange, you know, at the moment, just because of, you know, what's going on. But I was also thinking about Raya as the set and forget keeper as well. Like, I think just given Arsenal's sort of clean sheets potential, but also their defence in general, I'm quite happy to also take a risk on Raya and just bring him in. And if he doesn't play, he doesn't play. And, you know, sod it. Like, I'll take a bit of a hit, you know, in that first game week. But after that, he's a solid pick still. potential. So that's where I'm at from that point of view. I think the locked 4 million player for me was Fabianski, and then I've got Flecken there as an orange, you know, kind of option.
If you knew that Raya was only missing 1 week,
yeah,
you'd keep him. But yeah, if it was more than one and you knew in advance...
If I knew in advance and I knew it was, yeah, if I knew it was more than one, then I probably wouldn't go there. Because those first three game week, the first three being the three game weeks coming up for Arsenal, they're prime fixtures for clean sheets. So, yes, which is a real shame because I'd miss out on that one. But then, you know, there's still the potential for the other two. But then I'm looking at Flecken and thinking there's opportunity there as well. So... yeah, I think it's a really tough call. And I just don't think we would know. We wouldn't know if he was going to miss more than one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Brentford, it's a bit tricky there. I think they've conceded the most shots in the league so far. So in a goalkeeping sense, that's really good because you get the save points.
Yeah.
And then a bonus of when they do keep a clean sheet. But I might want, if I went Flecken, I maybe want an additional insurance of saying...
yeah,
Switch goalkeeper, just to be able to have someone playing to switch just in case.
Yeah, true. So I think like there's a... actually, how have you found sort of goalkeeper rotations in the past? Have you gone for like 2-4.5 million goalkeepers? I mean, I think we've had in the past also a 4 million option that's typically been playing in like Turner, for example. Have you tried out the rotating goalkeeper approach?
Yeah, I think I've always done the rotating goalkeeper. Maybe I've had five million, but pretty much always done the rotating. Maybe 50% success rate. Like, there's always, you play the home fixture and you're like, oh, that makes sense. But then you're like, the away keeper finds a way to get a clean sheet on your bench, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just didn't want the headache this year of having to worry, and just the way that Arsenal's defending. I just wanted that set and forget for a longer period, but don't want to miss the injuries as well. So.
Yeah, I agree. So Neil, thanks for being in the chat. So Neil's just sent a message in the chat to say, but Brentford have played Spurs, Liverpool and Man City away. That's a really good point. And I think like it's easy to forget that as well when you look at it. Again, so this is where there's also been a lot of like weird conversation on Twitter around, you know, you can't look back, you got to look forward and all of that. But I think you have to look back in the context of something like this, right? Where there's been tougher fixtures for a couple of these teams that we're considering now. And so the points potential is definitely there. It's the same with Everton, you know, famous last words, but you know, it's the same with Everton. They have slightly easier fixtures coming up, so the points potential is definitely there. And I think it's the same with Brentford as well, with the easier fixtures coming up. They've had some tougher fixtures, you know, to start the season with.
Yeah, and I am very much a fixture based player, especially in the short term horizon. But even like someone like an Everton, I don't feel like I'd want to spend a transfer on a defender like that in 2 or 3 weeks. So I'd rather...
Oh, you just froze there, but you're back. Oh. Carry on.
Right. Yeah. See what happens when you talk about Everton.
So we're both Liverpool supporters, if that hasn't come through yet. So Ash and I both support Liverpool. So yeah, it's the Everton thing, isn't it?
Yeah. No, I was just saying that you don't want to spend a transfer getting an Everton defender in.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm happy to start with them, and then if they continue to play the way they are, then there's always an option to jump off.
Yeah, absolutely. So look, in the defence, so this is where like we're going to be chatting a little bit around player rotation as well, with not just the forward line, but the back line. So Trent, Gabriel in my draft, definitely, you know, locked in there. Same with Greaves as well. I think more or less the same for you, Ash, when we step through our wild cards. But there's so many other options to work with, and it depends on budget now. So, you know, your Guardiol, Lewis. I mean, I've got Lewis in that bucket there, but mostly because of the Guardiol, Lewis, you probably wouldn't want to go for both. And then Porro, you know, still in the conversation there. So Guardiol being 6 mil, Porro is 5.5-ish or 5.6 now. And then you got Lewis at that 4.7 mark. So that there's that. But then in that sort of 4.5, actually 4.3, to 4.5, there's so many options. So you've got Mikalenko, who's like turning up in drafts now at 4.3 for Everton. You've got Aina there, Pinnock and Milenkovic as well. So I'm like, there's a few combinations there that, you know, we could consider.
Good thing is that there's a bit of insurance that, assuming the one that you do pick is not the right one, there's always someone to talk to.
Yeah, this is it. So I was like tightening up my budget, like in my initial drafts, I was looking at how do I maximize on the attack potential, but then it makes my defense look absolutely shit. So I had to then kind of just pull it back a little bit and go, look, I'm going mostly big at the back with, if I'm going Raya and then I'm going Trent, Gabriel, that's already quite heavy at the back, right? And then to then go Porro or Gradiol or even to consider Saliba if Raya is out is still big at the back. And so that's a lot of money to put there and then weakens up the midfield, which again, it seems to be a bit of a template-y. You know, I was looking at my midfield this morning and I was thinking, I don't like this anymore. It feels very template-y at the moment. So with your Saka and Mbeumo, Rodgers, definitely locked in, I would say, for most teams that I'm seeing, and yours and mine, I think. And then we've got the other options there. So I didn't put in Semenyo here. Like, I should really add him in over here, actually, maybe. Let me just do that now. So the other option there, you know, the alternatives are Diaz, Eze, Gundogan is coming up. You got Semenyo, you've got Dybala, Winks, Carvalho and Savio. I've just added Savio and Gundogan in there because they're at that sort of 6.5 mark as well. And, you know, we're looking at City and thinking who is that sort of additional City mid option. Anyone sort of like, you've got Semenyo in your draft, I believe.
Yeah, I've currently got him in. I didn't have Lux to start the season with that 5.5 option. I picked actually two duds, which is an achievement in itself. I just feel like he's doing really good things for the team. And, you know, even just watching him against Liverpool, you know, he had that really close offside goal.
Yeah.
Which is loud, and he's beating the right positions, and he's just got two good fixtures coming up. So it's one of those, rather than banking it in for sure, maybe start with him, see how he goes, and then you have the option to either bench in those harder fixtures or just sell him.
Yeah. Yeah. Really quick one. So Praj has just said, Prajful, actually, I'm not sure if Rao is your last name or first name, so I apologise. So surprised that some choosing Aina, NFO. So Forrest will be without Gibbs-White this game week. Does that? Do you think it makes Forrest's defence weaker without Gibbs-White? Like that much weaker, where we wouldn't consider a Forrest, you know, defender.
That hasn't come into any of my consideration. I knew that he's out, and and on the flip side, it would enhance Chris Wood, knowing that he's on pens. But from a defence point of view, you're not just picking it. He's only suspended for one game, and you're not just picking it for that one game. So if you're confident on those fixtures and the way that they're playing, then it's still a solid pick. Interesting enough, just, you know, the way that they dismantled Liverpool at Anfield, you're like, okay, this is a team to really focus on. And then watching the Brighton game, they were actually quite exposed.
Yeah.
I don't know. They played their grand final against us, and then now they're not as good as what the stats were saying, or is it just a one-off, and longer term they actually are a good defence? So it's a bit tricky.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, we'll quickly touch on the forwards there and then jump straight into our wildcard drafts and do a bit of back and forth with the why we've gone with certain picks, and, you know, what's going on behind the scenes from a shots taken, bonus points, all of that, like what's sort of played into the narratives that we're working with, you know, at the moment, or we're choosing to kind of go with. So in the forward line, so for me, I've got Solanke in there as a green, you know, because I'm quite keen on bringing in Solanke. Yeah. I just realized I didn't even put how did I miss this guy? Yeah. How did I miss this guy? Oh my God, Jackson. Let me just add him in there. He wasn't on my mind. So Haaland, probably a sort of, you know, fix in most teams there. And then I've got Solanke there in a green, you know, sort of nailed in my wild card at the moment. Would DCL, similar sort of, you know, again, six, like anywhere between, depending on when you picked him up, but he was about 5.9,
yeah.
And Wood is about 6.1 at the moment. And then we've got now coming into the equation, probably a little bit more with the Raya money potentially being up for grabs, with Havertz and Watkins, and of course Jackson in the same sort of, you know, I guess pricing territory as Solanke as well. So yeah, so they're really interesting spots there. I think there's two spots there definitely for grabs. It's just, yeah, which combination. But Ash, if you don't have anything more to add to this one, we can just jump straight to your first wildcard draft.
Yeah.
Let's go. Cool. All right. So this is your first draft.
I called it the template.
The template, yeah. Talk us through it.
Yeah, so you got the Raya set and forget at the back. Trent, just as a non-owner for the first 4 weeks, I think we got lucky with just the six-pointers, and then obviously brought him in when he got the 11-pointer, so I was really happy there and more than happy just to keep him for a long time. Gabriel, at the same time, got burnt from not owning him, so he's straight back in, and
yeah,
there's a lock there. And then it's just, as you said before, I had Porro, and even though he's still a good option, I just need to spend the money elsewhere in defense. So if you've got Raya, Trent, and Gabriel as your locks, out of the four, I'm happy to sort of rotate a little bit between Lewis and another 4.5 or cheap defender.
So yeah.
Lewis is an idea at the moment. And then the midfield, you got Semenyo, who's got the good immediate fixtures, very much like Diaz. He's on form, and they're just playing really well on that left side. They're opening up a lot of space. And, yeah, like, maybe I'll take that chance and hope for the minute. Like, he's still going to get the subbed, 60-70 minutes.
Definitely.
A lot of damage. So this is where, do you just back 90-minute players, or do you back the potential for a bit of upside, knowing that they're going to get subbed, but they can score really well.
Yeah.
Rodgers has been there the whole time. Mbeumo's definitely coming in. And then Saka makes a lot of sense, which I've got the captaincy on him at the moment.
Yeah.
Haaland, and then another forward, which at the moment, looking at those fixtures, I do like the look of Jackson, which, if that's the right term of covering an attacker or a Palmer for a lot cheaper. And then I was going, okay, if this is the way that it's looking like, what would I be happy with coming off the bench if I needed to use it? So Everton defender, that's fine, I think. Coming up soon, Branthwaite's back and they're getting healthy. Might be a wait and see. I'm not ready to start him yet, but if he comes on, that's fine. And then you got that second striker of Calvert-Lewin. So you can see the funds there. It's exactly a fitted team of... So I can't actually get in Chris Wood right now based on this team.
Yeah.
And then you're an Ipswich defender as someone who plays but hoping to not come into your team.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I think so a couple of people in the chat, Sidhishant saying, everyone's going to have the same team in game week six. Yeah, it's really funny that we're seeing that. And same with, like, template draft. Let's just have a quick...
Someone took a snapshot of that midfield. And
you're yeah.
Like, is this the same midfield? You're like, that's the midfield I had. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, let's just have a chat about that, because I feel like this was kind of the same for me. You know, when I was going into game week one, right, I was seeing very similar drafts across the board. There was a couple of combinations that were different. Obviously, the Salah and Haaland, and then, you know, most people not going Salah, going with Saka, a lot of people not going with Haaland, and then, you know, having Palmer in there and all of that. And I remember, you know, thinking to myself that, am I missing something here? And obviously, I did my first draft based on what I thought was going to be a good combination, especially in the midfield. Now, so what if it looks the same? It's the same because they're good picks, right, for the upcoming fixture run. So just because it looks the same in every draft that you see doesn't mean that you have to go different for the sake of going different, because you're seeing the same thing.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know that you might only want this for 2 or 3 weeks and then you make changes, but it's still a good base starting point.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
People's playing styles are different, where Semenyo's got only two good fixtures and then tough ones. So why go in with the planned transfer?
Yeah.
Maybe say Jackson, or why not just play the immediate two fixtures and then see what happens? So it's, you know, very different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I will show you my template draft and we'll jump to your second draft as well. So my slightly templatey sort of version of this as well is that I've got Raya in goal as well. I did sort of bring in Gvardiol there. I've got Trent and Gabriel, and obviously Gvardiol can become Lewis and it gives me more money in the bank, basically, is what I've, you know, got there as a note. I've got Diaz, Rodgers, Mbeumo, Saka. I don't have Semenyo like you do, but then I went with a 4.5 option there in the mid. In fact, so I started the season with a 4.5 option. In fact, it was Winks as well, but Dibbling has been entering my mind as well, you know, at that 4.5 spot. Mostly because I don't mind playing four in defense and I don't mind playing three up front as well, even if it's Wood or DCL. I'm happy to just play that because whilst I think that there is a couple of good 5.5 mil spots like Semenyo, Travenier, like there's a few emerging. A lot of managers are holding on to ESR as well. I've already dropped ESR, which is, you know, I was quite sad about given that he's been getting some consistent returns there. But I feel like it's a really good, you know, like option to just go without that fifth midfield spot and just go with a 4.5. Because I haven't been playing Winks. You know, I haven't started Winks. I haven't had Winks bench points come off, although it could have done, you know, if João Pedro had just stayed on the bench the past game week. But yeah, so I'm quite happy to just go with a 4.5 there. I think the only difference is that I would want like a decent rotating fourth defender. So with going, if I go Lewis, then I'm relying on Lewis, you know, like, well, I'm relying on Pinnock to come in this draft as my sort of rotating fourth defender, just in case. Greece, of course, the Ipswich have got some good fixtures coming up as well. So don't mind sort of playing there, like, you know, him playing there as well. But if I go Lewis, then I'm slightly nervous. Gvardiol's a little bit more nailed on. And so, but from a clean sheets potential, I think, again, when you look at the, you know, if you look at the projected, the goals, you know, it was actually quite high, like 31% is quite high and it is new, and it is an away fixture as well. So I think from that point of view, I don't mind having a Gvardiol or a Lewis in there, but Lewis is just that little bit more of a minutes risk. It's so slightly, you know, concerned about that, option, but then that leaves me a lot of money in the bank to then upgrade my my midfield. So I could go Diaz to Palmer, I could go Diaz to Foden. It gives me options to work with, basically. And it's the same with my front line as well. So I've got Haaland, Solanke as my nailed, you know, sort of that 7.5 mil, you know, mark player. And then I've got Wood there instead of DCL in comparison to your template-y type of draft. So this is my version of a template draft, even though there's a couple of like differentials there from the typical template. But yeah, this is the one that I kind of like at the moment as a bit more of a balanced. Yeah. Sorry?
No Everton.
And I don't know if that's like partial bias there or if it's a... I just don't know. Like, but having said that, it's not like Forest get many goals as well. So I wonder if it's, do we want to have a look at our second draft or is it worth having a look at some data to support some of these picks?
Yeah, I think my second draft was more on the, like, what happens if Raya misses?
Yeah, let's have a quick look at that. So we've got the second draft here. Let me just make sure it's framed. So, yeah, talk us through if Raya's not around, what happens?
So I kept it simple here. It's actually quite similar. So instead of Raya, you've got Flecken, but having the insurance of Muric on the bench for some of those, you know, you could actually play, potentially even play Greaves over Lewis in some games and try and get that double Ipswich clean sheet, which gives you a nice boost. And then the difference there is actually having Havertz as the third Arsenal and just jumping on some of the goals early on, knowing that you can jump off. Yeah, so one thing that I'm looking at past based on these ones, and I think this one gives me a little bit more flexibility, which is that's now I have to think about how that works, is what happens if Foden becomes Foden.
Yes. Oh, gosh, it's been a pain, hasn't it? Like, I'm still hot on KDB coming back. I'd rather have KDB, and he's dropped down to 9.5. I think he was 9.5, but he'd gone up, and then he's dropped back down to 9.5, which is good. But, yeah, I don't know. Foden, as the player of the year last season?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just been bizarre, yeah. Not sure what's going on there.
It's hard. You can't just keep the funds in just for something like that, but
no,
I'm happy to make a two-player move
just
and then to bring him in.
Yeah.
But yeah, you just got to find those funds. I mean, even that Semenyo could, rather than having that 5.5, you could drop that down to a 4.5 player. Have the funds. So there's always a way to do it.
Yeah.
So you can see I've got Mikalenko and Calvert-Lewin. So I've got that two depth on bench there versus your one plus Winks.
Yeah.
I always just find it hard to get my head around having a 4.5 midfielder just using that spot. But what's the points difference? I'm not sure if you're not going to use him that often.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean. That's why I was tempted by, you know, not... I know that I will want to play my fifth midfielder. I don't think I'd be, like, benching Rodgers. I'm trying to kind of push out the price point bias there, that he's 5 mil and therefore, you know, too cheap and shouldn't be playing him. I'm just playing him, especially with what we learned about, you know, Palmer from last season, starting off so cheap and then just kind of coming through. Rodgers is still sort of, you know, making his way, you know, into that. I mean, he's nailed in that side is what it seems like, but also he's getting the points now. And I can only see that, you know, improving, fingers crossed anyway. That's the narrative I'm working with. But I think I would struggle to then not play my third, you know, forward spot because, you know, the fifth spot has some options there. But also, would I want to bench Semenyo, you know, when the fixtures kind of turn a little bit for Bournemouth as well? So this is where I'm like, not sure. I'll show you my second draft. So if I go up here, so this was my draft two. So draft two without the Raya draft as well. So the no Raya draft had Flecken in goal. I had Gvardiol there. Of course, could become Lewis as well. Gives me more money. I've got Trent there and I've got Gabriel there as well. Diaz, Rodgers and Bumo Saka again and Havertz up front instead with Wood alongside there. And then I upgraded my midfield ever so slightly with Carvalho.
Yep.
Just because I'm seeing that he's getting more and more minutes and hopefully, you know, just a quality player coming from Liverpool. So just giving that benefit of the doubt there and Milenkovic at the moment on there just because I've got Flecken. So I don't want to double up on the Brentford defence, given that I'm going with Carvalho there as well. So that's the only sort of, you know, difference that I made there. But I then made a third draft, which was kind of an optional off the back of this particular draft. And... I'll show you that one, which is just alongside over here. So this draft is probably one that I like the most at the moment, which is kind of annoying at the same time because I've gone Flecken in goal, Lewis, Trent and Gabriel. I've got obviously Diaz still there, Rodgers and Bumo Saka, but I've upgraded my forward line. Yeah. So I've upgraded the forward line to Haaland, Havertz and Solanke. And that leaves me with 0.3 in the bank. And my bench is still Milenkovic and Carvalho. So I could downgrade Carvalho to a 4.5, for example, and still have a little bit of extra money there to spend. So I get like a point, 0.5 mil, 0.6 mil roughly to spend elsewhere if I wanted to upgrade Lewis later to a Dalot or, you know, I know I said it, you know, Man United defender. But, you know, talking to Ryan and, you know, actually talking to both Ryans this week, so Ryan from Chatbox and then Ryan from Better FPL as well, they were both, I believe they're both, you know, Man United supporters and they were both, you know, quite sort of, feeling strong about Dilit and also Dalot as options for some of the good fixtures that United have as well. So this gives me a little bit of that extra flexibility, but it does sort of say you can't have another, you know, 9 point something spot without downgrading. So I think, will I want to downgrade Havertz? I'll probably want to downgrade Solanke, but do I really want to do that if they've got good fixtures coming up as well? So that's the sacrifice that I make, you know, that I don't downgrade Havertz or Solanke over the next, you know, 3 to 5, you know, fixtures, and don't upgrade Diaz to, you know, Foden or a KDB as I had in mind. And maybe it's going the other way around, you know, so it's just picking to go 3-4-3 and playing 3-4-3 with a solid forward line.
Yeah, so I think something that I was looking at was the Haaland Havertz and then Jackson to start with. So it's very similar to the Solanke.
Yeah.
But it's knowing you just got to be comfortable with, you can't have everyone. So, you know, what if, you know, the next thing like a Foden or whoever it is becomes an option? You just, either you wait and you don't jump on it straight away, or you just find a plan. So I guess the Diaz one is the one that, probably not a long-term pick. But this is where it's like, do you bank that transfer or you just go with what you know now he's going to play?
Yeah.
And worry about some transfers later.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have a preference with your drafts that you like the most?
So if I know it's going to come across as non-committal, but I really can't agree right now.
You can't agree right now. Yeah. But look, let's say you knew Raya was okay, would you still go with the Raya draft? Because it's
probably,
it's but opened up a couple of options now, hasn't it?
Yeah, correct. But in a good way, it's opened up options where I'm definitely open to it.
Yeah.
I just don't want to have to play the 4.5 keepers.
Yeah, yeah.
Those options, but I don't know, how much extra do you think Raya will score over a Flecken, say over a 10-week period?
Well, so I can't remember who I was listening to who had mentioned that, I think it was James from Planet FPL maybe, talking to Clayton. And I think Clayton, being a Arsenal supporter, had mentioned how the upcoming fixtures for Arsenal are probably better from an attacking point of view, in terms of points, you know, conversion side, because you've then got, the easier fixtures, and therefore shots sort of, you know, conceded are going to be fewer, given how good, you know, Arsenal's defence is. And so Raya making, you know, saves is probably going to reduce over the next three, with perhaps the potential being in the attacking line instead. And so there's more goals potentially to come in the next three fixtures versus, you know, the points potential with Raya. So I think with Raya being sort of a contention at the moment has definitely got me thinking. So I was going to do a quick sort of comparison. So I was going to take, you know, this one here, and take it into down here to chat to. But if you had to pick.
Yeah. The thing with the double attack as well is just unknown with the whole Odegaard situation.
Yeah.
So maybe it's the immediate is the attack upside.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in the past where it was so hard to just roll a transfer.
Yeah.
You have those options. Maybe it's not the worst thing to actually jump on Raya in about 5 or 6 weeks' time.
I think so. Like if we just, you know, I'll take your attacking one that you've got here as well, and just pop it up sort of side by side. I just want to pop them up next to each other, and hopefully that is big enough on the screen. Let's see if I can get it positioned with it being bigger. Come on. Ah, too much. The Safari zooming is a lot of fun. Okay, let me just do this. So I just bring them closer. Here we go, that's better. So looking at these side by side, right, like the only differences we've got between our teams there is who we're playing up forward there, and the fifth sort of midfield spot, pretty much, if Raya isn't an option, basically. That's kind of the main difference there from what it seems like. You've got Mikalenko there as well. Would you upgrade Mikalenko? Because you've got a tiny bit of money, but it doesn't give you much wiggle room to go to a 4.5 if you wanted to do something different. Would you consider it?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
maybe so downgrade Semenyo, maybe?
Definitely an option. So I left the point to going, if Everton continue to let in goals, I could jump to a Mikalenkovic, that's an easy one. not ideal spending on a transfer, but at least I've got an out. Or, as you said, just downgrade a Semenyo, which is always an option.
Yeah.
Do I trust, maybe I trust Everton defence soon to be coming good and I don't trust their attack.
Mm.
You just jump on someone cheap like Raul or even like Larson from Wolves.
Oh, yeah. Who's been,
just keep 5. Him in
5.
There.
5.5. Yeah.
Keep him in there so when their fixtures do come good, that's a safe transfer.
Yeah.
Just have the money in the bank to be able to jump. So that's where I'm debating, or you just play the immediate fixtures. That's all, I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, so look, this, I think like the no Raya option draft that I'm leaning towards, and I am sort of, you know, pushing myself into making a decision that I don't bring in a Foden, for example, unless I drop Havertz and I drop, you know, so that's an option. If I go into a future game week with three transfers, if I can manage to make that happen, which would be amazing. Haven't been able to get to three transfers just yet. You've done that, haven't you, Ash? Did you go into a game week with three transfers?
I did. Yeah. I think I did in game week 4, which is the Gabriel issue. And I think over now, I think between the last two game weeks, I'm down about 10 points on the three transfers. So
yeah.
It could go both ways.
Yeah, I think, look, if I end up there, I could downgrade Havertz to the 5.5 or, you know, 6 million sort of mark. And that sort of gives me the option to go Fleck into Raya. It then also gives me the option to go the Diaz spot, if it's still Diaz by that point, go Diaz to a Foden when that option becomes, viable. And it might be in the short term that I just make 2 free transfers and, you know, because I'll be going into game week 7 with 2 free transfers anyway. But I'll probably be rolling if I go with any of these options.
I think the key is there, if you can just make... If you want to jump on someone, and you can do it in 2 moves, that's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of like, just really quick on like player combinations, for you, from a forward spot, what do you reckon? Are you thinking at the moment definitely Jackson?
Most likely.
Okay.
Yeah, you want to? I know and there's Solanke there, but I want the Solanke option as an out, and I think he's got a couple of tougher fixtures.
Yeah,
I saw he played today, got a goal and an assist in Carabao, but again, he's playing full 90 minutes and coming off knackered, so maybe Jackson's a bit more fresh and has the home game. So and then this is just exactly the 6 mil or Havertz, depending on the keeper situation. That's where it
DCL,
is.
DCL, yeah, okay. So yeah, it could be either one, and then plus Havertz, yeah. Watkins not entered your planning?
It definitely has. Just, I think the one thing that I'm playing with is the UCL factor.
Yeah.
And I saw what happened to Newcastle last year with all those extra games. He's coming off early as well, which I guess you can use as a narrative for other players too. But
yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is a lot of money.
With Haaland, that's, what is it? It's almost a quarter of your budget in 2 players.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, I'm just going to take Haaland out there. I think I wrote him just to kind of make sure that I'm definitely keeping... Oh, yeah, of course he was always going to stay. But I think it's the same with me. I think we're on the same page with, like, where we're thinking about our teams anyway. Jackson's, for me, it's a Jackson-Solanke combination. And then with a no Raya. So actually, let me just put that in there. No Raya.
Yeah, correct.
Then Havertz is the thinking, you know, with that one is where I'm going. So this is all like notes I'm doing on the go that will probably help me later. So that's the thinking there. With the defender combination, is there any particular defender? You know, I noticed you had Mikalenko there pretty much in. But is Lewis in for you?
I think he will be in. I think there's just too many scenarios where I see him getting minutes. Like Ake's out and Rodri's out.
Yeah.
And they need someone that's played. There's a lot of games coming up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in the past where they had the group stages of the UCL where they could just rotate and rest This is a much longer campaign. I just think they're going to need him a lot more. I don't know if that opens it up to more one pointers coming off cameos, but I just need that fourth rotator. I'm happy to have there and back the potential upside.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. No, that makes a lot of sense. So with the defend the other sort of 4.5 and 4.3, I think you've got. What are you thinking?
Like I was thinking, do I even just try to get to like a Branthwaite and not actually worry about the cheaper one? But
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
think I've got the funds for that yet. But he's
Yeah.
definitely an option.
Yeah.
But with the Mikalenko, like he seems to be nailed. He's going to play on that team.
Yeah.
He had a really good run last year where he was actually getting good bonus and a few attacking returns.
Yeah.
It's just an option that, yeah, I think I am leaning towards that, but I just don't like the fact that I've got Mikalenko and DCL.
That and that's what's been putting me off. Like, I think when you think about, the 6 million, so I'm just going to put it in here. So it's Wood, DCL, just so we can see what we mean there.
Or do
But
you bank one of the Everton doing well, knowing that you
yeah.
might get one of them right and then jump off the other? Potential.
Yeah, I think like so the reason why I kept drafting in Wood into my side was because he's more likely to well, less likely to get injured in comparison to DCL. It's just that comparison. But from a goal scoring side of things, yes, Everton between like and was it Ndiaye and Ndiaye? Ndiaye? I'm really butchering that name, so I apologize. But McNeil also being sort of the goals outlet in terms of involvement as well. Actually, let's have a look really quickly at who's taking shots. I'll see if I can zoom in so everyone can see this a little bit more. So it's just this part here. When you look at like the shots taken, Haaland, Semenyo obviously up there, which is why you've also you and many others are considering him as an option. But then you've got Eze still up there as well. So Eze definitely entered my thinking. Like if I don't go Diaz, then I'm thinking about Eze. So yeah, there's a couple of like combinations there that definitely come into play. Salah still up there. I just can't, like I think someone mentioned it in the chat earlier as well. Like Salah would be a differential. Yes, would definitely be a differential, but just not entering the conversation for me at the moment anymore, just because of the spread of fun side of things, and I might deeply regret that. Fernandez, so Fernandes even, so Bruno, is he sort of? I just can't bring myself to go there. Anyone else sort of like so Diaz is a little bit lower down there, of course. Like he scored 5 goals. But in terms of shots taken, he's just converted more for the goals that he scored, which is really, really good.
Yeah, so people are saying that the 5 goals are not sustainable, but I guess the XG on that is still he's still getting, I think it's about three. So he's just getting good quality chances and coming from that good team. So I'm happy to start with that.
And I think from that combination, right? Like when you look at Watkins, so the reason why Watkins I'm not considering at the moment, I'll just kind of move this down so everyone can see proper what I'm seeing. There you go. Watkins is further down there. And so when you yeah, like I think I'll see if I can get the big chances created with Watkins in
Yeah, I
there
think
as
there's
well.
one. If you keep scrolling a little bit, you'll see there's a big chances missed as well.
Yeah, actually, let me just yeah. Sorry, it's going to be tiny on your screens, but it's worthwhile looking at
Watkins
this
stands out.
combination. Yeah,
So the
there you go.
potential's there with Watkins. He's missed seven big chances, but then
Yeah.
does that cost him bonus or that stuff?
Yeah, exactly, and it does, right? Like it all sort of plays a role there. So, yeah, that's where I've gone off of Watkins a little bit. But look, he might just explode, and we're all sort of like, oh my gosh, how do we bring Watkins into our sides now, right?
Well, hopefully, if he's exploding, that Rodgers is the one assisting
Yeah.
and contributing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's about 26 of you also watching in the live stream. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, afternoon, evening, early hours of the morning for many of you as well. Really appreciate you being there. Please do like the stream if you do enjoy this type of content. have got a wonderful guest on today. So Ash, it's been really, really good to have you on to just talk some of these things through. And I think there was a question as well, like, so Dommy, you asked the question earlier, like, we covered this ever so briefly, what's your thoughts on Raya? I'm on wildcard and hoping he's available, but if he's not, and yeah, if he's just out for 1 or 2 weeks. So just really quickly on that point, my personal sort of perspective on that is that I would still go with Raya if he's only going to be out for one game week, just because I'd probably want to keep him for a longer term. But if we're not getting a good pulse check on him in terms of availability, and yeah, then I'm happy to just go Flecken to start with and then switch over to Raya, just make a goalkeeper transfer, because we can roll 5 transfers now. And so if I set up my wildcard right, then maybe I'll have some free transfers going into the, you know, future game weeks as well.
Also, one thing on that is we might actually push one way is that Arsenal play PSG during the week.
Yeah.
It's also at home. But if there's some doubt with Raya, which one do they focus on? Do they put a Neto in goal now and just wait for Raya to be fit for PSG?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is it. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a couple of things there with our, and that's something that we forget as well, that there's UCL matches on next week. And so, yeah, there's going to be a, you know, rotation for sure, especially with Diaz that we've touched on, especially with Arsenal players as well. So, yeah, and look, Arsenal drew in their last UCL, so they're going to be looking for wins. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they start to kind of, you know, line up there. I'm going to go back to, so actually, should we look at the bonus points one as well while we're here? So just really quickly, in terms of like bonus points, because obviously these are the types of things that come up in, you know, like has come up in our considerations as we've been making picks. So
it shows you which ones are heavily relying on certain
stats,
like goals. Diaz has got a lot from his goals, but also match winning goals.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, additional bonuses. You know, Sun sort of contributing.
Sun's doing well. Like he's definitely contributing there, not getting the goals at the moment. Solanke very much like, you know, very early still, because he's not had as many games as like Jackson, for example, but I could just see him doing well. I think that's why I'm so keen on just going with Solanke, but also saving a transfer, because now that also Raya is a contention, I'm thinking, is Raya going to be a future transfer that I'm banking? And so can I avoid that transfer by not going there, you know, at the moment? I did have just, you know, I managed to grab this one just to kind of put it into context. So I got this from the Gono guys who do like the player comparison stuff. And, you know, this was really interesting to see. Like it's whilst like appearances wise, Jackson's had more goals, all of that, but it's still very similar as well. Like if you look at the minutes per shot, there's not that much in it really. Shots on target, very close as well. Goal attempts in the box, very close as well. So I think when I was looking at the EV, so this is the most data that we're going to probably go through, but I do look at EV occasionally. And so when I'm thinking about EV, there wasn't much between
so
these two.
It's probably a minutes thing, Jackson, right? It's going to be coming off more.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think this one's 100% a transfer later or just save it.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you know, if you look at the wildcard, you know, drafts again. So if we look at both of our options.
This is where you could get a 20-point upside in two games.
Yeah.
Or it could be two points difference and you have to make a transfer anyway.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So do you start with Jackson, then drop to Solanke after the first two game weeks? Or do you go, actually, no, I'm not gonna bother doing that. I'm just going to go with Solanke and just hope for the best that he gets the points, you know, against. So just looking at the fixtures again. So Tottenham have got United and Brighton away. But Tottenham, I don't know. I think, like, they're attacking, right? And both teams are, you know, conceding. There could be goals. There could be goals. I mean, I know like United have just kept a clean sheet against Palace, but there's definitely goals in that match, and there could be goals in the Brighton fixture as well. So do you just stay on, you know, Tottenham there? You could also argue that you just stay on Chelsea players, especially if it's like a Palmer as well.
Yeah. Yeah, and even so, what are the Chelsea have? Liverpool
in
game week 8. But then you could argue that 9 and 10 is actually quite good from an attacking point of view. So, yeah, you could easily find a narrative to not jump back off someone and just keep them. So,
yeah
it's a bit tricky.
Yeah, it's super tricky. Just doing a time check. How are you for time, Ash?
Yeah, I'm okay for now.
Okay, cool. We'll keep going for a little bit longer. I've got time. I, you know, managed to move meetings around this morning, so the joys of Friday, and you know, it's nice when you can do that to some extent. But yeah, just going back to your like the drafts that we were looking at there. I'm just trying to see like what else we had down here. So, oh yeah, actually, let's look at this one really quickly as well. So from that 5.5 mil spot, so I jumped off of ESR, hesitantly jumped off of ESR. But what are, you've got Semenyo in your team at the moment. Let me just zoom out of that a little bit, just get it sort of fitting in the box.
ESR's three returns from three at home so far. And then two away.
Yeah.
Which that could happen the other way with Semenyo now coming up, but I just have to think about if he was to blank in the next two games.
Yeah.
Would I be comfortable keeping him? Or is it just one of those plan transfers, which yeah, I just
Yeah, agree. All right, I'm going to go back to our wildcard drafts. And I think there's still sort of, you know, I guess some confusion maybe around the Raya option. So, you know, I'm just looking at both of our sort of slightly preferred drafts there at the moment, which is without Raya at the moment. Would you be tempted, like, so what I'm doing there at the moment, going Solanke and Havertz up top, would you be tempted to switch over to something like that? Or
yeah, it is actually tempting because you know that they're the good options, should score well, and it just gives you the flexibility as well.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something to consider.
Yeah.
What else is there? I mean, I don't even know if I would upgrade the fourth defender.
Yeah, just leave it to Mikalenko.
Yeah, if I'm not sure what's my funds point to. I mean, I could also just go down to back to Fabianski and save a little bit more, but
yeah, true.
How much that's I trust right. every week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So I'm not doing that if I go Flecken. I'm just like all in Flecken, but also because I'd want to bring in Raya. So I would, you know, just factor that transfer in to bring in Raya after maybe the first three game weeks or something like that. The other option was to go Saliba. So I think the other draft that I had where I had Gvardiol in there, that 6 mil spot could be a Gabriel and Saliba, but I don't know if I'll feel, you know, good about removing them as well, like a bit later. So I think for me, the goalkeeper spot has always been a bit of a pain. And I think the times where I've brought in Pope, I think the season where Newcastle were playing really well, I had Pope in there at 5 million and he did really well. And then I had Alisson in my first season for the longest part of the season as well. And he did really well as well. And I think it was really only when I had Pickford where it was just a pain in the ass to have Pickford and then to jump off of him for him to get his 9-pointer and similar to like the Henderson, you know, side of things, even though we're wildcarding a lot earlier this season.
Yeah, you actually just noticed you got triple Brentford as well.
I do, yeah. Like with that, yeah, like just with the upgrade of Carvalho there, in case, you know, there's benching headaches there. But I could easily drop that down to a 4.5, you know, I've still got money there to bump that up. But I just don't know if there's a five mil midfield that I want. So I think if anything, that money could go into my defense a little bit more. So I could just tighten it up and just go Carvalho to a 4.5. take that extra sort of 3 million or so, I think he's 4.8, put it on Fabianski and upgrade my goalkeeper to have goalkeeper rotation.
Yeah.
Similar to what you've got.
Is there a world where you don't start with Diaz?
Yes, there is. Yeah, absolutely. So I think like when we were sort of, you know, talking about some of these, let's go back to this one. So, you know, this combination of things. So I have been considering Eze as well. So Eze has decent fixtures, you know, still. And so, yeah, there is definitely a, there's definitely potential there to go, just start with Eze and just go there. But my heart is not letting me go without a Liverpool attacker as well.
It's not so much just trying to cover Salah, but it's just knowing the opposition. Wolves are a bit suspect at the moment, and I think they've got it. I think they play Palace in game week 7.
Yeah.
Well, so then you've got your full Eze versus Diaz debate.
Yeah.
But also be nice owning Diaz for the early kickoff in game week 7, assuming that he actually is playing.
Yeah, well, this is it. So I just don't see... I can see Slot obviously dropping Diaz to play Gakpo, for example, who's playing very, very well as well. And I think, you know, it's a tricky one because, like, I'm happy to go Diaz even if it's for one game week against Wolves. And mostly from a... not necessarily to cover Salah because I'd already committed to dropping Salah, you know, regardless. I think it's just kind of riding on Diaz's form at the moment.
Yeah, and yeah. You trust them more than... Palace scoring goals,
who
are still winless.
Yeah.
It's not a crazy suggestion to say that Everton could beat Palace this week.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, absolutely. It's a possibility. So, but I just see Eze just playing really well. That's what we're seeing, right? Like, we're seeing consistency from him. He's just not converting, and he could have had, you know, at least 4 or 5 goals so far this season in just 5 game weeks. So yeah, it's a real shame that we've not really seen that conversion. I wouldn't see many managers removing Eze from their wild cards right now if he had converted. So I think he's still a good player to consider there. So Domi's just asked a question around keeper. So he said, keeper chat is fascinating. Do we believe Arteta when he says there's an issue with Raya? My gut says no. My gut says no, there isn't. I think he's fine. I think he's probably going to be okay as well. But I think it's just Arteta being Arteta, probably just playing up the City fixture that they had and how they parked the bus and all the drama that kind of came out of that. You know, Haaland throwing the ball on Gabriel's head as well. And gosh, there was so much drama in that match. I think as a neutral, I really enjoyed it.
It's a tricky one.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think this is going to be a last minute call for me. I've made some last minute calls like an hour before deadline where I've switched over captaincy or I've switched over making a transfer, not making a transfer, playing a triple captaincy, that kind of thing. Like I've just made very last minute calls. So I think I'm just going to back my gut and make a last minute call on that one as well. And yeah, just, yeah.
Given the fixtures, so you got there's 3 really good ones for Arsenal and then 3 tougher ones. You have to commit to either backing Ray now or just going without him for 6 weeks and then jumping like game week 12, 13, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And Neil's just said, I don't think Arteta would lie about Raya. No real tactical advantage to be had. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's also a good point. Actually, I was just going to go to the not projected goal, sorry, this one here, but to kind of show you the fixtures. So, you know, if we think about Arsenal, so the first 3 fixtures are really good. You could argue defensively very good, but you could also argue that from an attack potential perspective and the ceiling just being high as well. There's definitely opportunities there for Arsenal to bag plenty of goals in these 3 fixtures. But then you've got Liverpool, you've got Newcastle, Chelsea, which whilst like Liverpool obviously will be the more challenging fixture, we're just on form of our lives at the moment as well. So really, really happy with how Liverpool has kicked off, you know, this season. But Newcastle and Chelsea are not necessarily, whilst they're being, you know, they're away fixtures, they're not necessarily tough, you know, teams, opposition to play against. And then you got Forest at home, and then you got, you know, West Ham, who have just been conceding goals left, right and centre as well. So, you know, so there is a good fixture run there for Arsenal, where you would probably want to, I think the decision that we've got to make is it going attack first, the right option? And are we only socialising that as an option because of the Raya, you know, contention? Or is it, you know, genuinely putting the Raya stuff aside, maybe attack is the right option because they're easier fixtures, there's more opportunities to get goals. And then you've got players like Havertz, I think, who is going to be nailed. And I've had Havertz earlier on in the season. We're still earlier on in the season, but I hopped off of Havertz. But Saka as well as your attacking, you know, options there.
Looking at that now, I actually think the 9 to 11 period is actually quite good for Raya over a Havertz. Yep. I'd be more comfortable in that sense.
Yeah.
And originally I was always like, okay, Raya versus Havertz plus 2.5 mil. I can easily spend that elsewhere, but I know it's not a goalkeeper versus forward debate.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Just knowing that you'd keep Raya the whole time and then.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think just those 3 game weeks, I'm now just switching my thinking that maybe, you know, going double Arsenal attack is the way forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know, it's annoying.
I think it's either you start with Raya and comfortable with that 6-week period.
Yeah.
Don't bring him in until game week 12. And actually, if you want to jump off Havertz, having just 2 Arsenal for 9 to 11 is actually okay as well. You don't have to have 3 the whole time.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's the other thing. And I think, like, when I was thinking about Saliba in there, you know, instead. So having Saliba and Gabriel there instead of, you know, having, like, contemplating Guardiola there as well, I was thinking that, you know, I would then drop Saliba off to a 4.5, you know, million defender potentially. And then just going with 2 Arsenal players for the rest of the fixture run that they have. So, but with Havertz there, you could still drop off him. You could still drop off of Havertz, right? So let's say that you do bring in Raya and you just go, you know, Raya, Gabriel and Saka, and you just keep Raya, Gabriel and Saka, you know, for the remainder of the season, depending on how Saka gets on as well, because the guy just picks up knocks all the time, doesn't he? He's always limping. If he's not limping, you're like, what?
Yeah, but he just keeps providing some kind of return every game.
He is, yeah, and that's my point. So I think, like, dropping off of Havertz around game week 9 potentially is not a bad shout. I don't know if I'd go Raya in goal at that point. Might be around here, might be game week 10, you know, where you could drop off there. But then at that point, you know, does Watkins become an option over here? Maybe. Who's the other sort of third spot you could go to? I mean, this is where you can drop down. This is where you need the money, right? So if we look at Everton, they've got Fulham. So depending on how DCL's going, you can jump onto DCL by game week 9 or game week 10, you know? Same with Forest as well. Like, you can jump onto if Wood's going really well. So it's almost like do a bit of a pulse check on how those 6 million mark is going. And then Wolves, of course, you know, so this is where you mentioned, you know, Strand Larsen or even Cunha. You know, do you jump onto Cunha, Strand Larsen around this sort of area if you're then dropping off of Havertz?
Yeah. So it sounds like, and I almost been convinced, almost, that the Havertz part gives you the more flexibility.
Yeah, it does.
Around the 8 to 9.
It does, yeah. It does. Yeah. I think, and I'm leaning towards that at the moment purely because of, you know, the conversation that was being had around attacking potential versus defensive points potential, just with these 3. You know, it's, I don't know what it means from a Odegaard out point of view. I don't know what it means. You know, I haven't really delved into, and Trossard is out as well. So yeah, I haven't really delved into the detail around, you know, what does that really mean?
Back for this, because I think he might've missed the midweek game.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Cause it was a second yellow. It wasn't a straight red.
Just the one game. And I read today that Odegaard's rumoured to be out till Christmas or December.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like November. Yeah. Something like that.
Is that open to Trossard later on, maybe just as a punt? And
yeah.
Getting Saka wrong and it's Trossard all along.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, so I think like at the moment, you know, if we wrap up part of this, you know, conversation, like with the draft, so just going back over here, I'm feeling a lot more confident about this draft that I've got. And
let us know in the comments too if you see this. Which one do you think stands out more?
Yep. Absolutely. So those of you that are in the chat, thank you so much. For those of you that are still watching, really appreciate it. It's a long, you know, it's been a long stream. We've just hitting 1.5 hours and probably will plan to wrap up. So if you have any questions, actually get in your questions now as well. You know, we'll take a couple of questions before we wrap up the stream. But let us know in the chat as well, like which drafts are you, you know, drawn towards, and if there's any sort of obvious things. I think there was a mention of, you know, Madison and Bowen earlier by Geo69, who said, you forgot Madison Bowen if later on want to downgrade Diaz. Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is where, like, we touched on Bowen ever so slightly, that in as an isolated, you know, individual player, yes, great, but just not really clicking as a team at the moment. So it's, yeah, wait and watch kind of thing.
And then I guess probably the last what if question, because we have that this week, is the City team leak. What happens if, is Foden starting? Do you jump on? You wait? If Lewis is not starting, do you jump off?
Yeah.
Or do you just, the 1 week doesn't matter and you're banking the bigger, the better fixtures?
I guess so. I think like knowledge is power to some extent as well, like in this scenario. So yeah, I don't mind just waiting a little bit longer, because I you know, unless it's going to be a flick of a switch for Foden where he's just not great and then all of a sudden he's great, it's going to be a bit of a, you know, let's just make a couple of like transfers in between, and just bank transfers is going to be my aim. Yeah. And Niels just said, you know, if you don't plan to have three Brentford, then why not two Brentford keepers as backup? Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, especially if like, it just depends if we'll want a third Brentford later on. I don't know. Could that happen? Not sure. But there's a couple of other conversations coming in, chats coming in here as well. Just kind of have a look at those. So Neil also said, you know, if Arteta says he's out, then he'll be out. The question arises if Arteta says isn't sure, wait till training. Yeah, I'm hoping we'll see some pictures. Or some training, a bit of training going on, I hope. Maybe. Let's talk about captaincy really quickly, actually, while we're sort of just waiting on a few questions coming in. So this is the captaincy matrix from Lego Mane, really useful additional graphic that he's been doing. So, you know, captaincy for me at the moment is on Saka. Is it sort of a... like, interesting that Haaland is not highlighted here, but I think he's a really good option this week as well.
I think probably that matrix is on if they're avoiding the top six teams.
Maybe, yeah.
I still find Newcastle away as a tricky one. And if you're looking for a reason to jump off, this is probably a good week to not captain Haaland. Now, you could say that both him and Saka's floors are really good. So they're probably both got at least six in them.
Yeah.
And even from last week, you saw Haaland, like, he didn't do much in the game.
But, no.
But the goal becomes 9 points.
Yeah.
So a double return really hurts you, but...
it does, yeah. Yeah.
I am leaning towards the Arsenal bounce back at home. And also...
yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm definitely with you on that at the moment. I don't know how strongly I feel about it. I think that's probably going to be a last-minute call for me as well, because we should get some leaks as well about the rest of the side. So Rodri's out, of course, and it depends. We should, because it's an earlier fixture for kickoff for Newcastle versus City. I think we'll get some leaks there. I hate looking out for leaks. It's not sort of the type of, you know, way I like to play anyway. But I think we'll get an idea of the squad, the lineup, at the very least, like who are the other players? Is it going to be Grealish? Is it going to be Doku? Is it going to be, you know, Savinho is playing? Is Lewis playing? I think we will be looking out for the Lewis sort of.
Yeah, I just have to be comfortable on that one, where if Lewis is starting, I play him. And if he's not, do I just back a Mikalenko for the week and just to see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly.
The rest shouldn't affect Haaland too much. It's just, do you think it's a trickier game?
Yeah, absolutely. Just going to start looking at the questions over here coming through. So I'm just going to share for you a different screen so you can see the questions that I'm seeing as well, Ash. So let me just go here. So you should be able to see that with me as well, Ash. So I'll put some of these questions up on the screen as well as we wrap up this stream. So yeah, if you're still watching, thank you again. Please like and subscribe. You know, please do, you know, follow the content if you're enjoying it. And appreciate you being there as well. So question from Owen is, would you take Havertz over Saka to get rid of an injured João Pedro? I would have Havertz carry João Pedro on. I would have to carry João Pedro on the bench. And if I buy Saka, I can't afford to upgrade João Pedro. Ooh, good question.
I think I would actually take Havertz. As much as I want Saka, it's a much easier one on wild card.
Yeah.
But as a transfer, you can't, I don't think you can hold. Depending on the rest of the team, you can't hold Pedro.
Yeah.
And it sounds like if you don't have Saka, you're going to captain Haaland anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably would take Havertz.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Is Sade or Carvalho nailed for Brentford? I'm seeing Sade. Like, Sade was out, wasn't he, in the last game?
That might have been tactical.
Yeah.
But obviously they've spent quite a bit of money on Carvalho, so I think both are going to interchange and play. So it's not like they're all going to play 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So maybe the one that has the more doubt, just take the cheaper one.
Yeah. Yeah, fair. Domi said, yes, captain question. I would love to go Saka, but I've been punished for going against Haaland 2 weeks in a row. So this is where, yeah, we're both kind of also, But yeah, I'm liking the narrative of Arsenal bounce back at home as well. Dan's question around Wood or DCL, we talked about a fair chunk of that, but it's very similar.
They're both on penalties. Which team or player do you trust most, I guess?
Yeah, like who do you, yeah, exactly. From a, you know, staying fit perspective as well, who do you trust the most? Yeah, absolutely. So Owen just said Haaland's in red hot form and is playing against Newcastle team who just shipped 3 goals versus Fulham. Oh my God. And that's
away from home.
Away from home. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, that's what makes it super tricky.
I also, it may be in my head, I want it to be a Saka that outperforms in this week because you know that the next few weeks are going to be probably Perma, Haaland, and otherwise it just gets really boring, everyone on the same captain for the next 7-8 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what, to that point, I did a lot of that last season where I was like, oh, that's a boring captaincy pick. Let me just, you know, let me change it up. And Tien and I sort of have done a lot of shall we captain against Haaland kind of conversations. And it's gone miserably wrong for us in the past. But I think sometimes with the captaincy picks, sometimes you just go with the pick that you know, is the obvious pick as well. And like in this week's case, I feel like the obvious pick is Saka, just because of the pens and, you know, assists and goal potential, you know, like, whereas with Haaland, he's the only one at the moment, it seems like, that's getting the goals.
Yeah,
and no assists. Yeah, exactly. So it's close. Like, I captained Salah against Haaland in the game week that they both got 17 points. Now, I might have felt differently, you know, saying that in this moment, had it gone sort of the other way. And of course, like, I captained Salah last game week as well. And yes, you know, Haaland scoring the point, scoring a goal did hurt me. But it still won't stop me from going against Haaland. It just means, you know, if you think Haaland is an obvious captaincy pick based on the fixture that he has, then go with that. It doesn't matter if it's boring or not. Just go with it.
Yeah. I think it was on the flip side. If I went Haaland, because I was a bit scared of the EO and where my rank is right now, all that stuff. And Saka went off. Be more annoyed at that than the other way around.
Yeah, agree. Mbeumo and Flecken only nailed. Yeah, that's what it seems like at the moment. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, I think that's pretty much it. So thank you again to everyone that has been viewing with us this morning. It's a morning for us over here in Australia, and probably early hours of the morning for those of you that tuned in over an hour and a half ago. Really appreciate you tuning in so early as well, especially from India. Last sort of question from Dan there around how we're both doing from rank. Ash, I'll let you go first. how's it going for you at the moment?
Right now, I'm in the license plate number type area. It's seven digits. No, it's about 3 mil.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
I'd say it's about 60 point, maybe 60 true points behind you, because I know you've used your triple captain.
So yes, I have. Yeah. I've been attacking this season, like mostly, which has been different style of play for me. So I'm just over 15K at the moment, and really happy with the start. Really happy with the start that I've had. It's just been, it's been really good. But like I said, it's still earlier in the season. And so, whilst I've had a really good start to the season, it could all change post wildcard. But I guess like when I'm planning my wildcard, obviously you're treating it in the same way as like starting the season as well. So I'm strategically playing my wild card now, as opposed to my team is in desperate need of a wild card. And
seeing it from that. Different angles, but, and then we also, different needs, but coming together with quite similar teams.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the interesting thing to have a look at over the next couple of game weeks now, with not just the transfers that we end up making off the back of the wild card, but just the approach that we're thinking and some of the differences that we've got in our teams as well, which was very similar to the Minis and ESR picks as well. So, it's really interesting. I'm looking forward to the next run of the fixtures. Not forgetting that we've got international break in between as well. So between 7 and 8, there's and then there's another one after 10 or 11. I've just got it on my board over here. So this is the printout version that I've got. I do things pretty lo-fi, like when it comes to planning half the time. But so there's an international break between 7 and 8, and then there's one after 11. So interesting that that's happening. We'll wrap it up over there with the streams. Thank you to everyone that's tuned in. Really appreciate it. Ash, it's been wonderful to have you. Where can everyone find you to follow you?
I believe on Twitter, I won't call it X, FBL Crisis. Long-standing history behind that name as well. So it's not like where my team is at right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that's where you can find me.
No, we can turn this around. You can turn this around. Like I did it last season. I've mentioned this before in my streams and videos as well. Like I was around your rank, for a long part of the season. I was like 3.5 mil, 4.5 mil, and then, finished 64K overall last season. So it can be done. I'm looking forward to sort of seeing you do that as well. So only 1A is like, she's not going to answer my question, is she? Damn. in the chat here. What was your question? So your question is Nicholas Jackson or Chris Wood? Who are your other two players? Who were you thinking? Like, so Haaland, I'm making an assumption you're going to go with Haaland. Who's your other player? Is it Solanke? If it's Solanke, then go with Wood, maybe. But Jackson's probably the better pick between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Jackson now, and then you can jump
You can jump to Wood afterwards. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I reckon. There you go. Answered your question. Thank you again. Please do like and subscribe. And yeah, looking forward to chatting about how my game week review went. So game week 6 review went after the wild card early next week. So I think there's a match going on till Tuesday for us in Australia. So there's a Monday night match this time as well. So that will come a little bit later. And then, of course, we're meeting up live in person with Tien as well next week. So maybe we'll do a quick video or something like that on the fly and, you know, just kind of... Yeah, why not? Why not? Love them. I love some of the different sort of content that's out there as well. So yeah, really, really do appreciate it. Thank you, everyone, again. Have a great start to your day, morning. You know, have a good night if you're in the UK. Really impressed that you're up this late watching as well. So thank you again and take it easy. Happy green arrows to everyone. Thanks again. See ya. Bye.